And I did. I wore the like sun shirt the whole race, which I thought was super beneficial because I knew getting like sunburnt would be detrimental.
Yeah, yeah, it is relentless out there, isn't it?
That was the one thing I was like super happy to come home. I'm like, we have trees and there's shade, and like things don't try to kill you.
Hello again, friends. Thank you so much for joining me here at the Wisdom of the Wilderness podcast. I am your host, Greg, and as always on this podcast, we are here to share wisdom gained from time spent in nature with a dose of inspirational and empowering stories of everyday people moving through uncharted territory, both literal and figurative. I am grateful you have chosen to spend part of your time today with me, listening to cool things and cool people. And without any further ado, let's get to this week's episode. Well, hey there, friends. I am back for another episode of the Wisdom of the Wilderness podcast, and I'm recording this intro afterwards because we had a ton of fun recording with Amanda, who is a friend of a friend. There's a new connection at Javelina, and we talk about her experience running Javelina as someone who flew in from New York to the middle of the desert in Phoenix and did 100 miles on the Javelina course. I'm going to have a bunch of links in the show notes because we just start talking about things. And then there is a bonus at the end of the episode because both of us totally forgot to talk about a really funny thing that happened during the evening, during the night when Amanda was running in the dark with our mutual friend Emily. And we happened to cross paths. So that's at the very end. And I just went straight from the intro to put that on there. Amanda is an awesome hiker, trail runner, outdoors adventurer, and it was super great to talk to her. So I hope you enjoy this, and as always, leave a review on your favorite whatever platform you're listening this to, and give a 5-star rating if you can. It really helps everything out. All right, we'll talk to you again, my friends. Enjoy the episode. Well, all right, friends, we are back for another episode of the Wisdom of the Wilderness, and like I promised a bunch of times, we have guests. We have this awesome guest today who's a new friend that's a friend of a friend that I met at Javelina. So good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you this morning?
Oh, I am well. It's cold in upstate New York, but we're good.
Yeah, I heard there was snow or something.
Yeah, snow and freezing rain, but we're managing.
Oh gosh. Hooray. Fall's a happy time.
Yeah, I miss Arizona.
So you're a friend of my friend Emily, which is also yep. your friend Emily, and yep. we connected at Javelina 100, which was your first 100-mile race, correct?
It was.
It was. And what on earth prompted you to do a 100-mile race?
I can pretty much say it was Emily. We were sitting there she was getting ready to run Tahoe, and I was pacing 50 miles of Tahoe for her. And she's like, oh, Javelina. And I'm like, well, that sounds fun. And she's like, well, if you're going to do it, you got to do the 100-miler. So I was like, well, okay. And signed up January 1st, right when it released. And yeah, like, and pretty much just anticipated it all year.
Wow.
Yep.
That is exciting. And how does one train for a desert race when it could be up to 100 living in upstate New York where you just got weather today?
Right. We get like hot and humid weather during the summer. So like 90 degrees with humidity feels over 100. So I pretty much just made myself go out all summer long. Didn't really use the heat as an excuse. But then didn't take into consideration, like, having a late October race is still going into fall, and we're, like, losing all the acclimation and everything. So I didn't do anything too special, which in retrospect, maybe that's the one thing I would change.
Okay. Yeah. And, like, when you get out there, like, are you, 90 and humid sounds pretty gross.
Pretty
so
miserable.
You're pretty sweat covered. And yeah. saturated by the end of it.
Yeah. And that's where I thought, like, the aid stations were great, because the ice, putting it in the shirt, I took, like, I had Emily as my secret weapon, because she had already done it, so she's just hammering me with advice, so.
Yeah. Wow, and did you do, like, saunas or anything, or you're like, nope, this is enough heat, I live in New York, why would it get hotter than this, we're done.
Yeah, I pretty much played ignorant, I guess, like, I mean, I really didn't do much of anything.
Okay.
Right.
That's okay. You can pretty much wing it and you can make it through. You, Javelina is a race where you could show up with, like, you're wearing Birkenstocks and a hoodie and you can outfit yourself from what people have available.
Right.
In the whole area.
Yeah. And I wore the, like, sun shirt the whole race, which I thought was super beneficial because I knew getting, like, sunburnt would be detrimental.
Yeah, it is relentless out there, isn't it?
That was the one thing I was, like, super happy to come home. I'm like, we have trees and there's shade and, like, things don't try to kill you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so how did this all work? Did you drive out here? Did you fly? You went from probably already the leaves were changed back home to, like, I'm landing on the face of the sun.
Pretty much, yeah. We came from Burlington, flew into Phoenix. Soon as we landed in Phoenix, we drove out to the Grand Canyon, actually. Spent a couple days there. So, and then that was freezing. We were in, like, our puffy coats and hats and gloves.
Holy.
So, yeah, then we came to Phoenix for a few days. And
wow, you got the full range of possible things in, like, a 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive.
Right.
Wow. And then you got ready for the race. And did you, how was that? Because you're coming from far away to a big 100-mile race that's got 5 20-mile loops of it. How do you figure out all of those logistics for all the stuff?
Well, I mean, so we do like a bunch of ultra hiking back in the Adirondacks here. So I do like the long days on the feet and I'm used to that. And so having the loops in an aid station was actually very helpful because we were going back to the same spot. Like, my friends were there, like, gave me something to look forward to.
Yeah, fresh food and everything.
Fresh food. Yeah, I've changed my socks every time, which I probably should have done more because that was one thing I wasn't prepared for was, like, the sand. We have, like I said, we have leaves, our trails are soft, and then you go to the desert, it's all sand. So I had, like, two blisters on each foot, like, in the same exact spot. So I had those all wrapped up, like... And that was one thing I wasn't, like, prepared for or even, like, think about because I'm like, I don't get blisters. Like, not a thing I've ever worried about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Say, welcome to Arizona.
Right. And I was like, oh, my God, these hurt so bad. I'm like, I feel like such a baby, but I don't deal with this pain. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. And I know I've seen photos of some unfortunate incidents with Choya and running into other cactus. Did you have anything or were you just viciously attacked by the sharp sand?
Well, that and actually it was mile 4 at the aid of the first aid station. There was a girl standing there and I tried to go around her, but she didn't see me and we kind of collided and I slapped a cactus and I had the one of those big, the teddy bear cactus, whatever those were, stuck in my hand. And I actually still have, like, prickers in there. Like,
holy.
Yeah. But I didn't look nearly as bad as the other girl. Like, that was brutal.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, if you go to the Javelina 100 Instagram page, I'll put a link to it because one of the favorites in the women's race had an unfortunate accident with a Choya and, like, her left arm is pretty much covered with Choyas and their spines are, like, can be, like, 2 inches long, 3 inches long. Right. So it does not look pleasant.
No, I actually passed her right before Jackass Aid Station And I was like, oh, and she was on the phone and I heard her say she got like this disoriented and just kind of fell into the cactus. And I was oh my God, I can't even complain about slapping one. Like,
yeah.
And like, I saw her, she was like within a half mile of Jackass. And I just went right to the med people and I was like, someone needs help right now.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, I can't imagine. And it's funny because I've been there and I've run the course twice in the dark pacing, but I've never seen it in the daylight. So I can't even conceive. I'm like, where's this Cholla forest that's out there that people tell me about? Because it's just dark when I see the course.
Right, which there's like, and I was worried about, I'm like, man, I'm going to like trip into one at night. Like, it was all scary.
But you survived that.
But I survived, yep.
Yeah. Wow. And it was a hot day. How did you deal? Like, you wore the sun shirt. How else did you deal with it? Like, were you drinking constantly and hitting every outhouse you could find, or ice, or how did you stay cool?
I had made it a goal. I had the two Solomon, like 500 milliliter, bottles with me. And I made it a goal to like drink them before every aid station. So I did really good on the hydration, which kind of scared me also because I didn't pee till like mile 60.
Oh,
yeah.
Holy.
And I was like, this is kind of like scary, but I felt fine. I was hydrating. So I just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
And then and everything was good. But the ice, I will say that was the lifesaver. I like every aid station, I had them throwing it in my shirt, like filling up my sports bra. Emily told me about like the buffs, like I had them on my wrists. Mm-hmm. So like that was, I credit that hugely.
Yeah.
Like,
that's awesome. And how did your transition go from daytime to nighttime? Because it drops like upwards of 30 degrees from...
So I thought, like, I think we got lucky because it wasn't an extremely cold night. I did notice, like, going through the washes, you'd see, like, a temperature drop. And then it would pick right back up. And then because we would be like, oh, cold spot, warm spot. Like, we were noticing, like, the weird variations. But we kept shorts on. I kept shorts on and tall socks the whole time.
Okay. And you stayed warm enough. You stayed good. And
yeah.
Yeah. What was it like running through the desert in the dark?
Oh my God. It was amazing. I had my headlamp off for like a good majority of it because the full moon was reflecting off the sand and it was just so bright and amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that was a super cool experience.
That was really cool. Cause I did, well, I went into the third lap. I went into the night alone. So like, it was just this like magical moment. And then I got Emily at midnight-ish or something.
Yeah.
So that was, and then you would think like I'd be listening to Emily because she has all the experience, but then she's like, you need to eat. And I'm like, well, I'm not eating because I don't feel good. She's like, well, you don't feel good because you're not eating.
Uh-oh.
Got this little like, not argument, but like, she's like, all right, we need to replan our whole game plan here. Like, it was just this funny thing. Like, nope, not doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Were you a challenging person to be paced? Were you arguing or running into cactus or anything?
Yeah, I don't know why I was so challenging for her. Like, you would think I'd listen to her. Like, and then, like, my other friend Andrew was out there, and he paced me for the last lap, and he actually got me to, like, back into moving because I actually entered the course on the last lap and actually very last place. I was the last person to enter the course and it was like, well, they were taking down the course markings. We're like, is an aid station's going to be up? Like, what's happening right now? So we texted Emily who went and found out. She's like, oh yeah. She's like, they're just starting to take down the course markings, but once you pass them, you'll be fine. And we ended up passing them at their first road crossing.
But, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was fine. And then, but Andrew made the last lap into a fun game. We'd see, like, people ahead of us, and he'd be like, okay, like, we're going to pass them. Like, we're going to go get them. And so, like, that's what motivated me through the last lap, and we were able to make, like, great time.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you did really well on the last lap.
Yeah, I think he was watching the time because they had me projected like at a 35-hour finish. And he's like, we just keep cutting off hours. He's like, you just got to keep moving. Like,
yeah. Like, wow, that's awesome. And then I saw you at the finish line.
Yep.
That was, yeah, tell us about that.
Finish line. Oh, man, I didn't actually, at mile 80, we'll go back to that for a second.
Yeah.
I like sat at the aid station and I actually like cried, sat there because I was like, I couldn't fathom 20 more miles. And like my whole crew was laughing at me because as I'm telling them, like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this. I'm like in robot mode, changing my socks, like getting ready to go out for the next lap. And they're like, we're not really sure what's happening. We're just going to let this go.
Yeah.
And then I got up and Andrew and I went out, and crossing the finish line was just like, amazing. Emily was there to give me the biggest hug, and you were, and it was just like this thing I never thought would actually happen.
Yeah, and you completed it. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and how was the recovery after that?
Did you all... I had a very easy recovery. The next day, like, I slept like crap that night, like tossed and turned, my muscles were twitching, it was awful. But then the next day I was like, my balance was off, I was a little wobbly. But then we hiked Camelback Mountain like 2 days later.
So. You hiked Camelback like 2 days later?
Yeah.
Wow. For some context, Camelback is a very steep, scrambly mountain locally in Metro Phoenix here that closes the gates at dusk because people are good at getting stuck. Yeah. Yes. But it's gorgeous and it's super fun. So
it is,
wow, that you did that 2 days after 100. That's impressive, Amanda.
We met a guy up there. He saw us in our shirts. He's like, you guys just ran that? We're like, yeah, we're fine. Like, he's like, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then how's the transition been since then? Because that was like a two weeks ago was the race, pretty much.
I started going, but I see I have like I guess he's more of like a personal trainer. He does like functional movements and strength training with him. And I went back to him on Monday and I was more sore Tuesday after seeing him than I was from the 100 miles. Like, I'm like, maybe this is like soreness coming out.
Yeah. Like, weakness leaving the body.
Yeah, like I'm not sure what's happening.
Gosh.
But yeah, I'm hoping to get back into hiking in the Adirondacks this weekend. So
yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, hiking in the snow. Are you doing snowshoeing or something with
not
all this?
Not right now. We're not enough for that, but I'm working on so we have like 46 high peaks over 4,000 feet in elevation. And there's like a patch you get if you become a 46er, and which I've completed that. But then there's another challenge, which is called the Adirondack Grid, where you hike all the 46 mountains in each month of the year over numerous years. So it's not done in like a calendar year. It could be if you wanted to, but so I'm working on that. And it's like 552 peaks total, and I only have 47 left to do.
Oh, wow. You're like, do the math, and you're like, yeah, there's less than 10% left. That's impressive.
Right. So, like, this is the month I have a few peaks to hike, so I have to get back out there.
Okay. And when are you aiming to, are you going to finish that this year?
I'm hoping this coming October.
October. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is impressive. And how did you get into all of this? I presume you got into hiking before you decided I'm going to do 100 miles. So, like, what's that origin story?
So, honestly, I was bored looking for something to do. I knew I lived close to the Adirondacks, but like, didn't know there was hundreds of miles of trails. So I hopped on Google, found out about the 46, and just kind of like hopped into it. And then met some people, and I have a lady, Nancy, who's a 2-time cancer survivor, who's like, I call her an animal in the woods. She's just this crazy hiker. And she's done. She's actually doing a second grid right now. So she's like my motivation and like,
wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, that it. I got nothing. That's just super impressive that she's out there doing it.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. And when you first found out about the 46ers and all that, were you like, did you have a background in sports or athletics, or is like, I'm bored, there's a mountain there, I might as well go climb it?
I did play soccer for like up until age 27, from like a little kid to 27. So like, I did have an active athletic background, but then I always wanted to like do more. I knew there like was a, I was kind of like looking for a hobby, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, and then it just overtook my life.
Okay. So then hobby became lifestyle and now like job and life basically.
Yeah. Well, I am technically a New York State licensed guide. I don't currently guide for anybody right now, 'cause I was busy like with the 100-mile race and I kind of took a step back. I am like, I guess I'm part-time. I only work 24 hours a week, a bartender. So.
Okay. That's okay. If you get...
Yeah, I mean, it supports my lifestyle and it's fine.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, everybody's going to die at some point. So might as well do what you want when you can.
Right.
And
right.
Nothing is guaranteed. Holy. Wow. And what are some of the next big ideas that you have? Are we going to see you at Javelina again?
I don't, definitely not this coming year. Like, I would like to do it again. It was a great experience, but I almost want to experience it like on the crew side.
Yeah.
Like do maybe the Jackass loop and do the crewing thing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel like that's a whole nother experience that needs to be. And then I actually found out that Aravaipa does a bunch of races in New Hampshire.
Yes.
So I'm going to actually be signing up for a few of those.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And how close is that to you? Like a couple hours, daytime?
3.5 hours from the White Mountains.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty close. Yeah.
Dang.
Yep.
Wow, that works out perfectly.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know the quality, and you've seen the standard they put on, like
right as like yeah. I think it would be fun to show up in the Javelina shirt too.
Oh my gosh, yeah, do it. The nice, right. That beautiful highlighter yellow color,
right? They can't miss it.
Yeah, nobody will miss you anywhere. I might have to wear that for like future runs. Just so I'm like, it's easy to find me in the photos, Mom. Go to the race photos, and then boom.
Look for the bright yellow.
Look for the bright, yeah, yeah. And like, oh look, that person's in black and black and black and black, and ooh, there's a red vest. And
yeah, that was like that trying was to find me in like Howie's photos or anything. I was like, this is, I can't even do this. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah. So for anybody who didn't know, like, Javelina is a big. I think the biggest ultra marathon in America.
There's like 1,500. I think I saw there were like 1,300 people between the three races.
Yeah, plus probably double that in crew and family or friends that showed up and volunteers. Like, it's a big production. So that there are so many things to happen and go on. Like, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Managing a small city for like 3 days.
Yeah, it was so awesome. You guys did such a great job too. Like,
oh yeah, it was fun, and like I hope that you get that atmosphere in New Hampshire, and just like knowing, cool, this is going to be with all all the aid stations, and like this is, yeah, just that fun atmosphere. Like, it's so cool to be behind the scenes and be part of people's stories. Like, watch you cross the finish line, meet you at setup, and be like, cool, you're Emily's friend. You're obviously cool by association. And
that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you two meet?
We met actually through a Facebook group that was on for like the 46 mountains. And we were both, there's something called a Great Range Traverse. That's like 8 peaks you can do in a row. It's like 26 miles, 10,000 feet elevation gain. So it's a good day.
Ooh, yeah.
We were both like asking questions about it at the same time. And she went and did it, and then I went and did it, and we kind of like just kind of linked up from there. And then she finally moved to Lake Placid, where the mountains are.
Okay.
And we ended up meeting through like Facebook and through hiking, and then just became best friends. And have somehow managed a really strong friendship with her living in Oregon still. So
yeah.
Yeah, like
wow. And do you have any plans? Are you New Yorker for life, or are you considering other places, or see where life takes you?
Right now I'm just seeing where life takes me. I am here till at least next October finish. I gotta finish the grid.
Like, yeah.
That's one thing that's keeping me here. But then I don't know, like I did fall in love with Oregon when I went out there, but we'll see.
Yeah. Lots of things to be decided another day.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Is there any advice that you would share with somebody? Because, you know, at some point you're like, oh, a 100-mile race, that's crazy. And then here you are just doing it. And at right. some point in your life, like 4,000-foot peaks, like that's crazy. And now you're doing it. Someone who's maybe going like, oh my gosh, that sounds so intimidating. Amanda just did 100 miles, but it sparked an idea.
Right. And I just say, like, follow the idea. Like, we met a guy in the airport, and he was like, I had the desire to do a 50-mile, and we're like, just do it. Like, just sign up for it. Just do it. See what happens, and then learn from that. Like not all races will be successes, but if they're all learning experiences.
Like, yeah, and that's a great metaphor for life, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I had a big marathon a couple weeks before Javelina that I ended up dropping from because it was a 14,000 foot elevation on a marathon.
Wow.
Which was fine. That wasn't the problem, but there was also 3 inches of rain coming down during the marathon, and we were on a ski slope, and I was just like, I can't get hurt. Like, if I get hurt, like, And I'm like, I can't get hurt. So I ended up just dropping for safety's sake.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And at that point, you're like practically with that amount of rain that you'd probably ski down the hill in your shoes.
Oh, yeah. My Andrew was there pacing me and we were just sliding. Like, this is not safe.
Oh, my God. That sounds, at some level, it sounds fun. At another, it sounds absolutely terrible.
Yeah. If I didn't have Javelina coming up, I would have toughed it out. But
yeah. Holy wow. Yeah. And is there anything like anywhere else, any big challenges or adventures, races that you are considering like long-term or worldwide? Like your bucket list is the Larapinta in Australia or something?
No, I haven't really eyeballed too much like overseas at all. Like I haven't explored my horizons that far.
Okay.
I don't know. Everyone keeps asking me what's next, and I'm like, I don't even like. I'm not signed up for any races. Like, I don't know. There'll be something.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Life has a great way of presenting you with all that, and
right.
And yeah, you have a huge accomplishment. Like, you can bask in the success of Javelina for as long as you want.
And I think, I mean, I'm not hope, and I know Emily is probably doing something big next summer, so I could
pace
her. Volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And I just thought of something else I want to ask. You ran 100 miles.
Yeah.
Did you have weird cravings during the race? Were you like taking down bags of potato chips, gummy bears, full pizzas?
It's pretty much stayed with like the watermelon aspect, the fruit aspect of everything. So it's like during the day, like something like, and then at night, I definitely took advantage of all of the potatoes and ramen and everything they had out.
Yeah, the pizza, the quesadillas.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And anything now that you're done, like, is your appetite all over the place? Are you just eating full pizzas every day to try and catch up? Or are you just pretty much back to normal?
So pizza really isn't my thing. I'm not a huge pizza person, but I ate a lot of pasta after the race. But now I'm just like trying to get back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. So yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share about your race experience or life experience?
I don't really think so.
No? Okay. Cool. Well, I want to say thank you for coming on and chatting with me. It's been great talking to you and hear the excitement in your voice. Like, I wish that excitement in your voice could translate into everybody out there. Be like, just do it. Just sign up. Just go on an adventure.
Right. I mean, we drink some tequila too if it helps beforehand. Like,
yeah.
Like, whatever. Then hit the submit button. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Now it's paid for. Now we're committed.
You're right.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, yeah. I'm gonna end her there. And thank you so much for your time. And I hope you get an awesome adventure today. And this snowy weather stops for you. And
yeah, I was supposed to stop around noon here, so I might go out for a little. I have a local mountain I've hiked a bunch, so I might just go there.
Yeah, nice. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, enjoy your day, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
All right, friends, we're back. And it's only been a couple hours since we recorded the first part. And in the intervening couple hours, both of us independently realized there's a big question I was going to ask that I totally forgot to ask because we were engaged in conversation. And after we finished recording, I went for a run on the Arizona Trail. And I realized I didn't ask the question when I tripped on a rock and was face down in the dirt. I don't feel good. I don't want to eat. Wait, I probably need to eat because Amanda mentioned that earlier. I should have a snack. Oh my gosh, I forgot the big question. So the big question that I have, and if anybody followed a little bit of the race or some Instagram stories, there's a peanut butter cup incident when I was running in the middle of the night and you were running in the middle of the night. So perhaps in your words, you can tell us what happened in the peanut butter cup incident. And it was.
So it was pretty, it was on my fourth lap. I was pretty delusional. And Emily and I came across Greg, who was kind enough to offer Emily a peanut butter cup. After scrounging around in his vest, he pulls out a goo, because that's all he had. And I, it's probably one of the best moments in my race.
Yeah, I was just like, I feel bad. At some point, I had three peanut butter cups, and I remember getting them. Somebody who came up to ask me questions at the, I was doing Pacer sign up, asked if I want them. I was like, okay, sure. And I had one, so that leaves two. And I remember vividly putting them in my vest, and I forget where I put everything. And I was like, oh, Emily, here you go. Grabbed the first thing I saw, and then I was like, oh my gosh, like Heidi's way ahead of me. Like, I got to go catch up. And then I remember Emily yelling very loudly, is this Halloween, trick or treat? And
yeah, that was pretty great.
That was pretty awesome. And then she told me later she thought it was hilarious. And
Emily was not pleased.
She was not very happy. And I think I said something like, they're practically the same thing. And then I ran off. And then you caught up to us at the aid station. And we were chatting there, and I was frantically trying to find a peanut butter cup for Emily, and all the volunteers are like, we don't have them because they would have melted during the day. We only have hard candy.
But I need a peanut butter cup.
I was like, I need a peanut butter cup. You don't get it. So we finished the loop, and I was like, must find a peanut butter cup. And I went back, and evidently I had not put them all in my vest. I had a little like reusable bag that was at Heidi's tent, and I went there. I was like, I have peanut butter cups. This is what I need. So then I didn't know where you and Emily were, and I went and got some cardboard from a volunteer at the aid station and bought a Sharpie, and then I wrote Emily's name on it, and I had decided I was going to go be at the finish line till the finish, so I was like, I had it with me at the finish line for when I could see her, and then I was there when you came in from the last loop, and we're going back to the tent, so I waited a little bit, and then went running down, chasing after. No, you came through the loop. And then went back, and I was like, I'll go chase down Emily. And then I gave it to her, and we had a good laugh. And then I shared my coffee, and everything is okay, I think. Yeah,
say Emily was not pleased, though. I laughed a lot.
No, she was not. Yeah, and then she's like, that really, like, helped Amanda out. And I was like, well, great. That was the whole point of that. You got tricked, but right. Amanda finished.
Trick or treat? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
Right. That's wow. Amazing.
That's amazing. Yes. So that was my highlight. And now it's going to be a running thing. Anytime I see Amanda, I'll make sure I have a single peanut butter cup.
You must have peanut butter cup.
Nothing else, just a single peanut butter cup.
Yes.
Maybe solid, maybe melty. We'll see. And
could be a goo.
It could be. Yeah, there's probably a chocolate peanut butter goo now. Yeah. It could be those Justin's nut butters. Those are good too. But yeah, something as a joke for that. So I just wanted to share that because it made my night. It sounded like it made a bunch of people in the area's nights when she was hollering at me. And I was like, oops. And now we're gone.
Right. Now we got to go.
Now we got to go. Yeah. We're going that way. So that was awesome. And I wanted to share that a little bit because, yeah, it made me smile. And hopefully it makes someone else there smile. And I'm probably going to get a bunch of random peanut butter cups now whenever I go somewhere.
I hope you do.
Which is great because they're the best candy ever. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
And thank you very much for joining me on today's episode, friends. It is always fun for me to record these, and I do hope you get a lot out of them. As always, if you enjoyed this, please share it with your friends, your family members, your colleagues, your coworkers, your hairdresser, the guy at the restaurant, wherever you're going. I do my best to research these and give a lot of good information, and there's a lot of people out there that can benefit from hearing the stories and also having that perspective shift that can come along with listening. As well, if you get a chance, I do encourage you. It really helps me out if you can leave a 5-star review at the podcast platform you're listening to, as well as maybe even write something. So if you get a chance, please do that. I prefer Apple Podcasts is how I listen to things, but I know that Stitcher's out there, Spotify's out there, Google Play or Google Podcasts, there's a whole bunch of them. So if you get a chance, please do drop a 5-star rating and leave a review. That would be fantastic. And with that, have a wonderful day, friends. We will catch you on the next episode of The Wisdom of the Wilderness.